We will now read God's holy law from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of any thing that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. In response to God's holy law, let's sing number 27, verses 1 and 5. 27, verses 1 and 5. Scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 45. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. This is the word of God. And they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek after thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more enter openly into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let's now call on the name of the Lord in prayer. Dear congregation, the chapter we read together begins with these words, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark 1, verse 1. And even in that very first chapter, we have so many instances which direct all our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the verses we read, we notice in verse 35 how Jesus begins his day. He's up very early, before it is even daytime, praying to his Father. It's interesting to note that the disciples come and find him and they say to him, Jesus, everybody's looking for you. And you see his response in verse 38. Mark 1 and verse 38. Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. And notice what it says in the very end of the verse. For therefore came I forth. That's what Jesus came to do. To preach. To preach good news. His good news. And so whenever we read of the miracles he does and the healings he performs, those are all secondary to his preaching. Every miracle he does is meant to support, to verify his preaching. Always. That's the same in the Old Testament. When you read in the Old Testament of the prophets like Elijah and Elisha, whenever they perform miracles, it's never for the miracle's sake, but it is to verify that they are God's servants and they are speaking God's word. And so Jesus wants to go and preach. But no matter how hard he tries to do that, and he does, but there's always somebody coming to him. Wherever he goes, people are flocking to him. So he begins here in Mark 1, his Galilean preaching tour. And everywhere he comes, people are coming to him. And that's wonderful. Because later on in the Gospel according to Matthew, he says, Come to me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. So he wants people to come to him. He wants you and me to come to him once and again and again and again. Today we're going to follow Jesus for a while children as he goes into the villages amongst the people and as he's going to preach. And among all those people who come to him, there comes a leper. You know what a leper is? No, not leopard with a D, but leper. It ends in an R. It's a person who has the dreadful disease of leprosy. There's still lepers in the world today. There are leper colonies in certain countries. People with leprosy, that's where they have to go and live separate from all the people. It's a dreadful disease. And some very famous people in Scripture had that disease. Do you remember from the Old Testament? A man who came to the prophet Elisha, who was a leper and he was healed. Do you remember his name? He was a general in the army of Syria. Naaman. Naaman was his name. And Moses' sister, she had leprosy too. Miriam. It was a disease that began inside a person and worked its way to the outside. And it was so horrible because a person's flesh would begin to rot. And especially the extremities, like the fingertips and toes, would fall off. And according to the Jewish ceremonial law, if a person had leprosy, that person was banned from society, could not come into his own house anymore, couldn't even come into his own village or into the city, could never come in the synagogue, and if he lived near Jerusalem, couldn't even come close to the temple. And anybody who touched a leper from that moment was unclean. And in Leviticus 14, the chapter we're going to read this afternoon, there's God's law concerning leprosy. And since that law was instituted, there is no record in Scripture that any Jew was ever healed of leprosy. Jesus says, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman. There were no Jewish people healed under the ceremonial law until Jesus came. Now, as we follow Jesus this morning, we are going to do so according to what Peter saw, the Apostle Peter, the disciple, because the Gospel according to Mark is really based on Peter's eyewitness account of what Jesus did and said. So we have Peter's account this morning of Jesus meeting with a leper. It was a meeting that had been scheduled by God Almighty in eternity past. A meeting that had to happen. And it had to happen this day. And it had to happen this way. And children, we're going to get right up close and see Jesus and see a leper. And the closer we get to this leper, the more we will see that this leper is really a picture of all of us. And that leprosy is really a picture of what sin is like. So when we see this leper this morning, it's like looking in the mirror. The mirror of a sinner. Children, so whenever you hear the word leprosy this morning, then you should think that's what sin is like. Sin destroys me. Sin is killing me. And when you hear of that leper, then you should think that's what I'm like. Like that leper. I can't heal myself. It's hopeless in myself. And when you hear how Jesus treats that leper, then you should think, that's what I need. That's what I need. The way Jesus heals the leper of leprosy, that's how I need Jesus to heal me of my sins. So, the text is Mark 1, verse 40 to 42, and this afternoon, the following verses. But this morning, those three verses, 40, 41, and 42. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. So our theme is, Jesus cleanses a leper. First we're going to meet this active leper. And secondly, the compassionate Jesus. And then we'll see the departing leprosy. The active leper, the compassionate Jesus, and the departing leprosy. There came a leper to him. In Luke's account, he says that there was a man full of leprosy. He had a terrible case of leprosy. We're not told what this man's name is, so we have a nameless leper. He came to Jesus. And that's not so strange, because many people came to Jesus. It began the moment he was born. People were coming to Jesus. Think of the shepherds. They came to Jesus. Think of the wise men a little later on. They came to Jesus. Think of Jairus, whose little daughter was so sick that she had died. It says of him in Matthew 9, verse 18, he came to Jesus and worshipped him. Think of the woman with the issue of blood who had snuck up behind him and touched his garment. She, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Coming to Jesus, that's all wonderful. And that's all legal. All those people who came to Jesus, nobody stopped them. But here comes this leper. This filthy, unclean, smelly, rotten, putrefying sores, open infections. He comes to Jesus. He's not allowed to come even near Jesus, because the law says he has to call out anytime somebody comes close to him, unclean, unclean, I am unclean, stay away from me, keep your distance, I am unclean. But instead of doing that, this leper came to Jesus anyway. His case was too urgent. Even though he knew the law forbade him from coming anywhere near Jesus, he comes just as he is. He didn't try to clean himself up first. He couldn't. That was impossible. He made no pretenses. Here he comes, smelly, full of leprosy. He comes to Jesus. Doesn't tell us anything about his mindset right then. Maybe he was confused. He certainly was hopeless of being healed. But he comes to Jesus. Why? Why is he coming to Jesus? Well, think about it. Where else could he go? He couldn't go anywhere else. He couldn't go near anybody. But he had heard about this Jesus. He's heard something about Jesus. And he's heard just enough that he knows this man can help me. And so I have a question for you this morning, even right at the beginning already. Have you come to Jesus with your leprosy? You didn't know that, did you? That you are a leper yourself. Have you come to Jesus with the rottenness of your heart? Have you come to Jesus filthy, condemned, before God. The law condemns you too. And you too have to cry out, I am unclean. I am unclean. The Lord has said, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, and nobody here is perfect. So we are just like this leper. Unclean. Imperfect. Impure. The law places us outside of the circle of God's people. But here we see this leper, and he's coming to Jesus. And he's coming by faith. Anytime a sinner comes to Jesus, faith is in action. Faith is here described as coming to the Lord Jesus. So we mustn't only think here of his bodily actions. That's true, he's physically coming to Jesus, but there's more going on here. It's not just coming to Jesus with your feet. It's not just coming to church, for example. We all can do that. It's not just coming to Jesus just by reading your Bible. We all do that. But you can come to church and you can read your Bible without ever coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus is a spiritual work. It's a work of the heart. It's a work of the soul pouring out itself before the Lord Jesus. And what a privilege that lepers, sinners like you and me, may come to Jesus. Why did he come? He came for one purpose. He knew exactly what he needed. There came a leper to him, beseeching him. That's a word we don't use in our everyday talk, but we should. Because it's a very, very good word. It means to beg something very earnestly. To ask Jesus for help. And many people came to Jesus, and of many of them it says that they were beseeching. There came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy. Mark 6, verse 56, wherever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garments, and as many as touched him were made whole. In Mark 8, verse 22, they bring a blind man to him and besought him to touch him. So coming and beseeching, that's wonderful. That means you are desperately in need and you're begging the Lord earnestly. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him. Luke says, he fell on his face, beseeching him. Matthew describes it as he worshipped him. And now, children, we can picture that leper coming very close to Jesus and falling on his face before the Lord Jesus. On his face, helpless, worshiping the Lord, pleading with the Lord, beseeching him, on his face before the Lord. Have you ever been there? On your face before the Lord, before the King of Kings, bowing down before him and crying out, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This leper is putting into practice what Hosea the prophet teaches. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. The leper came to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He made his voice to be heard. He came beseeching, kneeling, speaking. And the words He spoke are recorded for us in Scripture so that we may repeat them after Him. A prayer that God has given to us in Scripture for us to pray back to Him. Here in Mark it doesn't have the word Lord, if thou wilt, but in Matthew and Luke it does. He realized that this rabbi, this man, this preacher, He is the Lord. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It sounds like, doesn't it, that he is doubting the Lord's willingness to clean him. If thou wilt. Let's not be too harsh on him. Let's remember this man doesn't have a Bible like we do. This man has not read the Gospels. We have. He goes by what he has heard from his neighbor saying. And it's early in Jesus' ministry that here comes this leper. And he comes and he confesses faith here. Thou canst make me clean. He doesn't doubt that for a moment. There's no doubt in his mind and in his heart of Jesus' power. He's heard that Jesus speaks with authority and devils obey him. You read in Mark 1, several times he's casting out demons. He cleanses the sick. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus can do anything. He is powerful. And this leper believes this Jesus, He can even cleanse lepers. No one has ever been able to do. This man can do it. But the question for the leper is Jesus willing to do this for me? See, it's one thing to believe that Jesus can cleanse lepers. It's one thing to believe that Jesus saves sinners. The question the leper has, will he heal me? Will he save me? He's resting here in Jesus' power. He submits himself to Jesus' will. He's confessing faith in the power of Christ. There's no doubt. Jesus can cleanse lepers. And so he comes and he presents himself before Jesus to be healed. That's why he came. He came to be healed. But he's uncertain still at this moment of the results. He doesn't know yet the will of Christ concerning him. Thou canst make me clean. Jesus, I believe that you are able to cleanse and to purify, to cleanse me from this horrible disease with all its stains and shame. Jesus, I believe that you can make uncleanable lepers like me clean. If thou wilt, thou canst even make me clean. Notice something. This leper is active. He's coming. He's beseeching. He's kneeling. He's speaking. But notice in verse 40, who is the object of all of this? There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And that him is the main focus. That him is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the promised Messiah. That's who he came to in his desperate need. He came and he beseeched and he knelt down and he spoke, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Have you recognized yourself here this morning in this leper? That leprosy of sin that plagues every single one of us. It is incurable. That leprosy of sin places us outside of the family of God, outside of the church of God, outside of the kingdom of God. Because of the leprosy that we have, we can't have any contact with God. We can't even approach Him. Habakkuk, the prophet, says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. Thou canst not look on iniquity." So God in heaven can't even look at us. And maybe you're thinking, but I'm saved. Praise the Lord. God still can't look at you. Can't. He can only look at you through Christ. Only then can He see you. Outside of Christ, God cannot even behold you. Maybe you think, well, I'm baptized. That doesn't heal you. Well, I confessed faith. That doesn't heal you. I attend the Lord's table. That doesn't heal you. You can have all of that without Jesus Christ. We need to come to Christ Jesus. And we need to come again and again. And we need to come beseeching Him and kneeling down to Him and speaking to Him. You've already done this, then you have not been disappointed. But you need Him again today, because you have sinned again today. You need Him again to cleanse you from today's sins. Your only hope of healing and of staying healed is Christ Jesus. Coming again to Him. The leper certainly was not disappointed, was he? If thou wilt, he says, thou canst make me clean. I wonder how Jesus is going to respond to this. We don't have to wonder, do we? Because we can just read on. Verse 41, our second thought, the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. What a wonderful description of our Lord Jesus Christ in those little words, moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. He has pity. He feels sympathy for this leper. He pities the needy. That little phrase that Jesus is moved with compassion or filled with compassion, that occurs 9 times in the gospel records. 9 times Jesus moved with compassion. Sometimes it's when there's a whole multitude in front of Him. And one time it says, I am moved with compassion because I see these people as sheep without a shepherd. Moved with compassion when He sees the man called Legion, who had a legion of demons. Moved with compassion when the widow of Nain goes to bury her only son. Moved with compassion here. When this leper comes to Him, kneeling down. What an encouragement, isn't it? What an encouragement for lepers like us. Sinners like us. Jesus is moved with compassion towards sinners. Come to Him. And this compassion of Jesus, it doesn't just stay in His inside. It doesn't just stay in His heart, which is filled with compassion. It flows over. into what he does.
You read it there?
Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand. We need to think about this hand for a moment. We can't just go over it. This is not just any hand. This is the hand of Jesus. The sinless, perfect, pure hand of Jesus. And he extends that hand towards this leper. That hand of Jesus that has never been stained with sin. That hand of Jesus that has never been used for sin. That hand of Jesus that is going to be pierced with nails on the cross of Calvary. That hand of Jesus that now says in Revelation, hold the seven stars. That hand of Jesus that will one day open the seven seals of the book. That's the hand that he puts forth. That beautiful hand of Jesus. A hand of compassion for guilty sinners. He stretches that hand. You can picture it. There's the leper on his face before the Lord Jesus crying out, and Jesus stretching forth his hand towards the leper. Coming close to this leper. But he doesn't only come close. Maybe you and I would though. If there's this filthy, smelly, putrefying sore person, we might reach our hand, but would we touch him? See, Jesus does. He doesn't shrink back in disgust, and he won't shrink back in disgust from you when you come to Christ Jesus with the filthiness of your sins, whether that's for the first time or for the 10,000th time. He doesn't shrink back in disgust. You may many times be disgusted with how you are doing, but Jesus doesn't. He knows what to expect from you, from me. And think about now too, if Jesus touches this leper, then according to the ceremonial law, Jesus becomes unclean. So the perfect, almighty, creator of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, if he touches this leper, that king himself becomes unclean and polluted and stained with leprosy. And the leper knows that. He knows that very well. You can imagine him, what's going through his mind. Will this rabbi actually touch me? Or will he draw back at the last moment? Everybody else stays away from me. But he doesn't need to despair. Jesus never reaches out to somebody just to get their hopes up. Jesus never reaches out his hand without touching. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. That perfect, sinless, holy, undefiled one makes contact with lepers. He makes contact with sinners. And according to Jewish law, the Lord Jesus is now unclean. And yet, that touch of Jesus' hands, that expresses his compassion, his grace, his goodness. And believers, we need to think it through. When Jesus reaches out his hand and touches this leper, he is doing that for you. He's becoming unclean for you. When Jesus Christ has any contact with any sinner, he becomes unclean. When his hand touches you, He takes your filth upon Himself. And how does Jesus touch people today? Maybe some of the children are thinking here, well, Jesus isn't here. He's not going to come and touch me. Oh, He touches people today too with His Word, through the preaching of the Word. He touches people when His Spirit applies the Word to your hearts. And when you see in these Scriptures not only this leper, but you see yourself. And you see how you have come to Christ Jesus. And He has reached out and He has touched you. And listen to what He says. Jesus touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And Jesus accomplishes His purposes by the power of His Word and with the Word of His power. He did that from the very beginning in creation. It says in John 1 that Christ created everything. So when He says, let there be light, and there was light, that is the Word of His power. He is now upholding all things by the Word of His power. It says in Hebrews 1 verse 3. By the Word of His power, He says, to the sea that is raging, peace, be still, and the wind ceases. And there is a great calm. When a young girl has died, then Jesus takes her by the hand and says to her, damsel, I say unto you, arise. And she does. Because that is the Word of His power. The leper had said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And notice that Jesus doesn't rebuke this leper. What do you mean, if? We might say that. What? You call me Lord and then you say, if? It's not what Jesus says. He answers him according to His Word. He doesn't say, I can make you clean. Aren't you happy now that I can make you clean? The leper already knew that. He says, I will be clean. So Jesus takes away his if. Just snatches it right out of there. If is gone. If thou wilt, no, not if I will. I will be thou clean. And he speaks with authority. He speaks on his own terms. He says it with power. I will be thou clean. And it's still the same. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And Jesus comes today and he speaks to sinners. Sinners who cry to him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He still has the same answer. He never gives a different answer. It's always the same. I will be clean. And we hear him today. We hear him today saying the same thing, speaking to us through his Word. And the Spirit brings it home to our hearts. I will be thou clean. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not going to believe that unless the Word comes to me with great power. Don't do that. Don't think that. Don't say that. Be careful that you don't tell God how to go about His work. His Word is power. That's what Paul says, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And that's demonstrated here in the text before us. So what do we have so far? We have Jesus beginning his Galilean preaching tour. We have lots of people coming to him, and among them this filthy leper. who comes. And he falls down before him in the dust, face on the ground, and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And then we see Jesus, the central character, reaching forth his hand and touching that filthy leper. And Jesus today still touches filthy sinners. He's willing to make contact with you as you are. You are just like this leper. He couldn't heal himself. He couldn't patch himself up somehow. Wouldn't ever work. He needed desperately this Jesus to clean him, to cleanse him. And we need him too. Not just once. We need him to cleanse us and to keep us clean. We need him every single day. Well, we're going to see that the leprosy departs after we sing. 312. All the six verses. I love the Lord who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. All the verses of 312. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. As soon as Jesus has spoken, no sooner are the words out of his mouth, or this man is cleansed. Healed. There's no delay in this healing. It's just like earlier in the chapter, Simon's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto him. In John 15, verse 3, the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. There's a noble man who comes to the Lord Jesus, whose son is at the point of death. And Jesus says to him, go thy way, thy son is alive. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. And when he gets home, then he asks his servants, well, when was my son healed? Well, yesterday, about the seventh hour. And the man remembered, that's exactly the moment that Jesus said to him, thy son liveth. At that very moment, his son was healed. And we have there a picture of a sinner. As soon as that sinner comes to Christ Jesus by faith, that very moment, that sinner is clean, healed, receives all the benefits of the Lord Jesus. Right then and there, receives forgiveness of sins, is restored again into favor with God, justified, declared righteous before God on the basis of Christ's righteousness. That very moment, sanctification begins. Right at that moment, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. He was pure. Healed. Right away. He was cleansed. That leper is passive in this. There's nothing he did. There's nothing he could do. Christ did it all. That's the same for us. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves acceptable to God. Nothing. And there's nothing we have to do. Christ does it. We come to him and we say, oh Lord Jesus, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And we come to Jesus Christ for cleansing. As soon as the sinner, by faith, comes to Christ, that moment, he's clean. And imagine the disciples, it doesn't say anything about them here, but they're standing there watching this, and what's going through their minds? Our Master is going to touch this? And he does, and he knows he's now unclean, but that leper from that moment is healed. He is clean, and Jesus becomes unclean. Yes. That's what happens. When the leper comes to Jesus to be healed, when the sinner comes to Jesus to be saved, with all our filthy sins, Jesus takes those sins on himself, and he becomes sin for us. Scripture says, the leprosy departed from him. He knew it. And everybody else knew it too. It's like when you've been very ill. Some of you have been. And you've been healed. And you know it. And maybe later on, if you're not feeling too well, maybe you think, well, maybe I'm not healed after all. Or maybe this leper later on in his life, if he saw a spot somewhere on his skin, maybe he might have been thinking, well, maybe I wasn't healed after all. But here it says the leprosy departed from him. Never mind what he thinks. It's gone. Completely gone. What a nice story, isn't it? I love this story. But it's not just a story. It's not just a story. It's gospel. It's good news. Perhaps you think it all sounds so nice, and maybe it's even true, but what does it have to do with me? What does this leper 2,000 years ago and this Jesus have to do with me? It has everything to do with you and me. Everything. Maybe somebody is thinking, I've tried to come to Jesus, but I'm afraid that Jesus will not receive me because I'm just too sinful. I have sinned too long and too much and too wickedly. But Jesus says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Maybe you think, but I can't reach him. I don't know how to do this. Don't worry about you reaching him. The important thing is, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Doesn't say that the leper reached out and touched Jesus. No, just the other way around. Jesus put forth his hand and touched the leper. That I have nothing to bring to Jesus. Nothing. What did the leper have to bring to Jesus? Nothing. He just came with his leprosy. That's all he had to his name. All he could say about himself, unclean, unclean, I'm a leper. And all you could say about yourself, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. All I have to bring to Jesus is sin. And a heavy load of it too. Well, Jesus says, come on. Come to me. You who are laboring with a heavy load, come to me and I will give you rest. And you say, yeah, but I know what that leper means when he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus says, let him that hears say, come. Let him who is thirsty come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So come. We're all spiritual lepers. We're all in critical condition. We all need to come to Jesus. From the oldest person here to the youngest one. Well, what, you mean even little children? Even little children, what do they know? They know. Some people say, oh, children, they're way too little to be coming to Jesus. Oh, no, they're not. Let the little children come to me, says Jesus himself. And don't you dare forbid them. Because of such is the kingdom of God. Children, you are welcome by Jesus. You come to Jesus, kneeling down before him, and say, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know what Jesus will answer? You know already, don't you? Because it says in the Bible, I will be clean. It's not too late. It's not too late to come. You're not too hard to come. You can still come today to the Lord Jesus. He still invites sinners every day. Come to me, he says. It's not too late. No matter how long you have delayed, no matter how long you have put it off. There was a thief on a cross once, and he waited until the very last moment. Don't do that. Even though Jesus said to him, today you shall be with me in paradise. But there were two thieves on the cross that day. One on either side of Jesus. And one thief was saved. So that nobody here needs to despair. But only one of them. So that nobody can presume. Don't go on presuming. Come to Christ today. There came a leper to him. You could put your name there. And today come to Christ Jesus. But I'm afraid the Lord doesn't know about me. Oh yes, he does. He knows all about you. He knows more about you than you know yourself. He knows where you are. He knows not only where you are this morning here, but he knows what's going on inside. He knows it perfectly well. But maybe he doesn't know my name. He does. This leper doesn't even have a name. Anybody know his name? We don't know. He's a nameless leper, so you can come to Jesus just like that too. I'm not even worthy to be called a single name, except maybe sinner. That's all. And come just like that. Have you already come to Christ Jesus by faith? Oh, come again. Come back. Once is not enough. When you come to Jesus, you also come to your Heavenly Father. As he says, I and my Father are one. See, so then you're coming home to Father. Come to Christ. Come to Father. You need his cleansing again today. I do. And you know something? You are just as welcome by Jesus today as you were the first time you came. He won't send you away. He receives sinners. He eats with publicans and sinners, it says. What a blessing. Sinners? I know that guy. You too? That's me. And that's you. And that's Jesus. The Jesus of the Word of God. Come to him today. Amen. Let's pray.